Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Philip Krupski is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading for this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Our text is those words from Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Have you ever heard the expression, nothing good happens after 2 a.m.? Many parents probably have told their college students that as they head off to college, saying, don't do that. And why not? Because it is all that carousing that happens after 2 a.m. under the cover of darkness so that no one can see, and the time where most people are sleeping and aren't going to pay attention, it's all that carousing that's going to get you into trouble. And so we think of the big cities like New York that says it never sleeps. Or we think of Vegas where things rise to a crescendo at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And we understand that there's probably a lot of truth to that statement. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. I believe that St. Paul would probably agree with that same statement. In fact, I think probably would reflect that also in our text for today, where he paints a very stark contrast between those who are children of the light or of the day versus those who are children of the dark or of the night. As Paul wrote these words, certainly what would have been on his mind was the experience of citizens all over the Roman Empire at this time, that most of their cities, such as Thessalonica, would have Bacchus celebrations in the night. People would look forward, live all day long for that opportunity after dark to go out into the streets and drink copious amounts of wine, and then be whipped into a frenzy with music and dancing. And then once that frenzy had been reached, then who knows what would happen if you got enveloped in that crowd. All kinds of horrible things could happen to you during that time. When Paul lists off in his epistles what we might call the vice catalogs, the list of words of things that are not appropriate for those who walk in the light, Paul very much would have been influenced by this understanding of what happens out there in the streets, in the darkness, with all of that drunkenness that goes along with that. And Paul's words are, well, don't do that. But there is more to what Paul is getting at in these words than just trying to take the life out of the street party. All of that frenzied activity in Paul's mind was a distraction from what belongs at the very forefront of our thinking as people who are children of the light. And that one singular, solitary point of focus that governs everything else, it's the lens through which we view everything else, is this: that Jesus is coming back. For those caught in the frenzy of life, whether that be one of those dark of the night street parties, or whether it be parents consumed by how many soccer leagues they can enroll their kids in, or something in between all of that frenzy, there is always the temptation to think that the here and now, making the most of this moment for my own personal enjoyment, squeezing it out, wringing out what I can get out of this moment, out of this day for me, is what is most important. And the temptation then is to put off the understanding that Jesus is coming back. When our hearts no longer pine for Jesus to come back, then that's when everything else becomes so much more important. It's why we are willing to tear each other apart in order to pursue those things. Having hearts that are pining for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified flesh on that last day to bring about the resurrection and the judgment is not to mean that we write off these days as unimportant. But rather, Paul is pointing out that if you get caught up in the frenzy of life, then that day will catch you as a thief in the night, or as labor pains for a woman. And at least on the second one, from what I hear, that's not something that you would want to look forward to. And Paul says then these ominous words, and from those horrible things, there will be no escape. It's probably a message that we need to be reminded of more often within the church. Certainly the end of the church year brings that to our focus. A child of the light is someone who expects the return of Jesus at any moment. Maybe even before we leave this room today. Maybe even before I can talk to a couple of HR guys about something that's happening with disability with one of my team members. Maybe before we finish our task list for today, Jesus will come back. I kind of hope so. Maybe before that child graduates from high school or college or gets their first job or gets married or has their first baby or you get your first job or you look forward to retirement, before all of those milestone markers that we sort of hang our lives on and say those are the things that matter, we as God's people live with an expectation that today, this moment, could be the moment when Jesus comes back. And because we're expecting his return, because we are children of the light and not distracted by the darkness, that day will not catch us as that thief in the night. And because we are looking so fervently forward to that day when Jesus comes back, then we are energized in our service. Energized to make sure that we go talk to that neighbor about Jesus. That conversation that we've been maybe putting off for a while. Energized to go visit that parent or grandparent who's in a nursing home. Not putting it off till tomorrow, but doing it today. Energized to say, I'm going to teach a Sunday school class at church. And fill that longing young heart with the knowledge of Jesus who gave his life for them. Aching for that return of Jesus does not mean that we waste these days, but that we make the most out of every moment because we anticipate that return of Jesus. Instead of the world's perspective of wringing out everything for our own good, we wring out every moment for the mission, for the ministry that God has given us to do in the church. Because we recognize that on that day, when Jesus comes back, nothing else will matter other than whether or not we know that Jesus is the one who gave his life for us. And so then Paul says, again, influenced by his Roman culture and thinking about Roman soldiers running around in all their armor, he says, so we are those who are guarded by the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope, the hope of salvation. Faith, love, hope. These are the things that are at the forefront of our minds as we anticipate that return of Jesus. And why do we long for that return? It cannot be said better than what Paul said in our text when he said, God has not destined us for anger, but for the possession of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we live with him. You know, you find out whether someone has that hope or not at a funeral. Without hope, all the conversations are grasping after, well, the person did this or that, and that's why we're trying to comfort ourselves. The person who has hope says, Jesus is coming back, our bodies will be raised, and we look forward to that day. The person of hope uses the same word that Jesus used to describe Lazarus' condition when he said to his disciples, Lazarus only sleeps. The people of hope live by the confidence that Jesus had when he spoke to Martha, Lazarus' sister, and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will by no means die forever. So Paul says, so whether we're asleep, the Lazarus condition, whether we're still here working away when Jesus comes back, we live with him. What great confidence that is for us. Jesus comes back to seal the day. And so instead of using Jesus' return to scare people or fill with fear, Paul always says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. That's what we do. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.